What is the most important plan of operation do you think that's going on in the Earth today? The most important plan of operation going on in the Earth today. Would it be democracy? Would it be spreading of democracy in the Middle East? Would it be the peace plan, the roadmap peace plan between Israel and the Palestinians so that we can have final peace over there? How about the burgeoning economy that's going on in China? Is that the most important plan that's going on today? It certainly is affecting all of us one way or another. How about prophecy being fulfilled? Every day, everywhere you look, there's a little bit of prophecy not being that's being fulfilled, if not fully fulfilled. Or is it the preaching of the true gospel into the world? Would you say that's the most important operation going on the face of the earth today? No, that's part of it. I would choose the last one, but there's more to it. There is something else that is more important even than that, because without it, we wouldn't even be able to do that. Let's go over and see what God says that really is the most important operation being fulfilled on the earth today. Let's go over to 1 John, if you turn with me over there. 1 John 3, and you're probably already ahead of me. John, not James. 1 John 3, verse 1. The most important operation going on in the earth today is, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, how is he? Revelation 1 says his face shines as the sun. And every man then that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. God is begetting and will soon birth into this earth a new kingdom of sons and daughters, through whom it is destined for the whole earth to be exalted in righteousness. That is God's major and greatest plan that's going on in the face of this earth today. Let's go a little bit further, and just to prove that to you, that I'm not just blowing in the wind. Let's go over to 1 Peter 2 just a minute. I got a lot of things here I probably ought to delete, or I'll be speaking too long and somebody will get on me. 1 Peter 2. Let's see, I think it's in verse 4. It says, to whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. That's you. You also are as lively stones, and are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. So you, going along with just what we read in 1 John, are the most important thing that's being developed today. God is building you as lively stones as part of that kingdom that is going to exalt the righteousness of the world. In verse 9 it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. In one way you can say we are kind of peculiar if you know the people of God. But we are a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past was not a people, but are now the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but now has obtained mercy. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5 says, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Why is he going to all this trouble? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Therefore, and in 19 and 20 says, therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We, the rest of verses 21 through 22 says that we are to be a holy temple in the Lord. It says that we are the habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. It goes right along with what it says in 1 John being the most important operation taking place upon the earth. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the latter half of it. And verse 13, it says, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. What is his good pleasure? His good pleasure is to help you and I establish righteousness within ourselves. His good pleasure is to help us overcome and to build spiritual character. Why? Because there's a great world out there suffering. It's been suffering for 6,000 years. And before that, actually, if you take in the rebellion of Satan the devil. Psalms 14:34 tells us that righteousness exalts a nation, but that sin is a reproach to any people. Well, how is God going to get rid of the sin that's a reproach to any people? He's doing it through us. He's doing it by building a righteous nation. God is establishing in us and through us a kingdom that shall never fail. It's going to be a righteous kingdom that will set the pace for all the nations of the world in righteousness. How's he going to do this? John 15:16. Let's turn over there real quick. John 15:16. John 15:16. Christ said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Do you know that you've been ordained by Christ? Why? That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it. Well, what are you going to ask the Father in his name, being his children? That he establish his kingdom, that righteousness come on the earth, that the nations be exalted in righteousness also, so that there is no sin and no more reproach. That's what's caused all the problems from the beginning of time down to this time. Sin, the reproach of sin upon the peoples. You have not chosen me, he said, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you might go forth and bring forth fruit. What would we ask the Father in his name again? That is, to be exalted in righteousness. But how is he going to accomplish this? How is he going to get this over to the world? But how is he doing it now within us? Let's go over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. I bet you already know. Jeremiah, not Isaiah. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31 to begin with says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. But that's not only going to just include that. That's going to include the whole world when he says about saving the world. And then verse 33 says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Eternal, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Eternal, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Eternal, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. But see, he's already got a head start. 2,000 years ago or so, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came upon this earth, offered his life to buy back every human being upon this on the face of this earth, if they will. And he built his church. And those that have gone before us and those that are called to this day, that's our job. We have been called, and he's called us, and he's writing up on our hearts today his law, taking out the stony heart and putting in a fleshly heart, a heart of compassion for the people of the world. Christ, it says, and I think it says in John 15:17, I think it is, or it might be 13 before that, said, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his Son into the world to save it. So Christ doesn't, in another place of Scripture, says that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So he's gone to all this trouble, at least for 2,000 years, maybe since the beginning, when you count all the holy men that he's called during the time, holy men and women of God, to set up his kingdom, a great foundation of which righteousness shall exalt all the nations of the world, which every nation wants. But the problem is, you see, that every nation wants the righteousness built up on their own foundations, but you can't have righteousness built up on men's foundations. It just never works. So starting with us right now, God, again, he's laying that foundation with you and me and before those, and with those who went before us. He is laying the foundation for everlasting peace and righteousness to ultimately exalt the whole world by righteousness. Well, how is he going to do this? Again, by writing his laws in our hearts and in our minds and in their hearts and in their minds. That's why you exist. That's why I exist. But why us? Why not the great and the near great of the world? Well, Romans 1, somewhere in the middle of the verse, it says, I think it's 21, it says, because when they knew God, they could see him clearly by the handiworks that he made. They knew he was God. They knew that he was the author of intelligent design, of which they do today deny, and they denied it. And because they denied him and turned their back on him, then they built gods made out of creatures that look like them, of gods that look like animals, of creeping things. Therefore, it says, God gave them over to reprobate mind. They won't listen. He can't use them. So he decided that, well, if that's the case, if the near, the great and the near great can't be used, who can I use? 1 Corinthians 1. If you'll turn over there, please. 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians 1:26. Because the great and near great wouldn't do what he wanted them to do, so he's decided to take the base. He said, 1:26 says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's what he's doing. He's using you and me, who have been on the bottom of the dregs, and raising us up to the highest pinnacle in the kingdom that's ever going to be, greater than the greatest that's ever lived. And he's going to confound the wise. But more than just the fleshly wise he's going to confound, he's going to confound the spiritually wise who thought they could rebel against God eons of time ago and set up a kingdom that is without God, their own state of righteousness, their own state of doing things their own way, their own freedom, that has never worked. So God has decided, well, okay, I will take the least of the human fleshly kingdom, and I will raise them up so high, and I will make them so righteous that everybody that has ever rebelled with me, who had the ability and the talent to do what is right, and I will confound them so that they will never, ever again rebel against me. So that's why he has called us. You can go on and read the rest of the chapter 19 through 21 there, and you'll find out it just gives you more evidence that that is the greatest reason for the plan of operation on the face of the earth today. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So every person on the face of this earth has the opportunity to accept salvation and to become part of the family of God, which is the only answer. God tells us that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, as I said a while ago. It's John 15:17 again. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Our great God wants all peoples of the nations everywhere to be part of his family. You and I today, along with those who were forerunners of here, are here today, are being exalted for that very purpose. That doesn't make us better than anybody else, but it sure makes us privileged. And we ought to really be thankful for this great calling and the time that he has taken to set this large and huge foundation, which will never be overthrown through us. It's a great exalted privilege for us and for those who have gone before to help establish that priceless opportunity. So what is the most important operation going on the face of the earth today? The birthing of the children, the sons and the daughters of God.